This is 89.3 The Current. I'm Steve Seal, and I'm very excited to say that I've got a special guest here in the studio today. It's a real treat for us here on The Current, and a special treat for me in particular, someone I've been a big fan of for some time and a true admirer of for just as long. It's Amy Mann. Hello, Amy.
Hi. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for being here and for finding some time to stop in today. You're off to Boulder pretty quickly after this, right?
Yeah, we're flying to Boulder today.
Well, again, all the more reason for us to say thanks for you being here. So you played the zoo on Sunday night. Have you ever played a zoo before?
We have, actually. I'm starting to think the zoo plus rock show is becoming more of a thing. There are a couple of places around the country that seem to have these kind of outdoor setups at zoos.
Really? Like where else do they
There was one in Portland, and I know we've done, I know there's some, was at least one other, like maybe it was a Seattle thing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it was a West Coast thing.
Mm-hmm. I always worry because when artists come to town the people who do their bookings or whatnot saying, all right, you're playing the Minnesota Zoo, you know, that it's like people think, oh my, I didn't know my career was over. Nobody bothered to tell
me. Right, right, yeah.
It's like the Spinal Tap aspect.
Yeah, it's got a little puppet show sort of
right,
flavor.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, actually, one time we did play a zoo that was, it was in conjunction with some radio thing, you know, like a more of a festival-y thing.
Yeah.
And it was more where they kind of brought in, you know, production. The Minneapolis one is it's a little amphitheater, so it's all set up. I know, I hate the idea that we're disturbing the animals. I mean, I do recall this one where that there was the giant anteater was bothered by the bass drum. And I mean, I felt terrible, you know, like, oh God.
Did you just heard about that later? It was like during the sound check, the anteater was going berserk.
Yeah, exactly. It was during the sound check.
Yeah. Oh,
and the
man.
Peacock was squawking with, you know, the peacock wasn't too happy.
Right. I understand you had a little, the bugs were a bit of a challenge though.
Once the sun went down and then the lights came on and they were attracted by the lights and the heat, they sort of died. Dive bombed us, especially me and the lead guitar player, especially because he was wearing a white shirt and I think he was like a big target.
Yeah, he was sort of a big light reflector.
Yeah, and apparently he ended up eating a moth.
He was like singing backup at the time or something.
Exactly.
Oh my God!
And after the show, he says in this shocked voice, "I ate a moth."
Oh man, that's a career first. I got to Minnesota, I ate a moth. Played a zoo, ate a moth. Well, let's listen to. An acoustic rendition of a track that's on the new record, The Forgotten Arm. This is That's How I Knew This, from Amy Mann here on 89.3 The Current.
Thank you.
That's Amy Mann here on 89.3 The Current doing That's How I Knew This, a song that shows up on her new record, The Forgotten Arm, but that's actually an acoustic version that was recorded during the Forgotten Arm sessions as well. I'm Steve Seal, and I am joined by Amy Mann here in studio, just taking a couple of minutes out before hitting the road, or the air, I guess, actually flying to Boulder, which is the next date. And we were talking about the record, The Forgotten Arm, so we have themes of sort of a Vietnam vet coming back, and we have themes of addiction and everything, but also boxing. You like to put on the gloves and get in the ring yourself, actually. How long have you been doing that?
It's probably almost 2 years, although obviously being on the road, I can't really keep it up so much on the road. But
have you ever been able to do that when you're on the road? Can you find places to box?
My bass player, Paul, actually has taken it up too. And there's a couple of times we found gyms, and I found this great place in Albany and sort of took a lesson from this great trainer. But it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. And also I find the sort of more out of shape I get, the more reluctant I am to go into a boxing gym and look like a total idiot to barely hit the bag.
Have you ever boxed with your husband? Have you ever sparred? Does he not do
that? No, he's not into it. His brother, Chris, is really into it. Actually, his brother's a sparring partner to a guy who's got one of the heavyweight title.
We should say that for those who aren't familiar, Amy's husband is Michael Penn, singer-songwriter, one of the famous Penns along with Sean and Chris and the musical one in the bunch. But I was just curious is he cool with it? Been intimidating? Does it come in handy around the house?
It's he gets a little worried. I mean, I came home with a black eye one night. He was a little worried about it, but I thought he was going to get mad at me, but he didn't. But he's been cool about it.
That's cool.
When I get angry, I do find myself sort of going to the, you know, like getting ramped up for a physical encounter way faster than I used to.
Yeah, I know. I would imagine that would happen.
So, but, then you got to be sensible, because the other thing you learn in boxing, if somebody is even 5-10 pounds heavier than you, they instantly have a huge advantage. So
absolutely, yeah.
You kind of learn pretty quickly. It's a fairly limited thing.
Amy Mann right here on 89.3 The Current.
I'd like to play Going Through the Motions.
Something isn't right. Feel like I'm
going through the motions. Amy Mann here in studio with us today. So nice to have you along. And you went to Berklee? I didn't know that.
Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Right, yeah. Berklee College, not to be confused with the other Berklee. But well, yeah. But still though, you know, for a musician to hear about somebody going to Berklee, that's a pretty cool school of music. And what were your plans when you were going to Berklee? What did you imagine yourself doing?
I didn't know what to do. Like, I really didn't. I sort of had this vague interest in music, and I heard about this school. I mean, Berklee then was kind of known as a jazz school, but it was,
right, yeah.
I mean, every other music school was known as a classical school, you know, classical music. So
right.
I knew I could, you know, that I didn't belong there. So they had like a 7-week program in the summer. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll try that and then I'll see if I have any talent at it or not. Like, I didn't know how you knew because I,
I know.
I mean, like, I could sort of sing, but not really. And I played like 4 chords on acoustic guitar,
sure.
Like, you know, which is not that hard to figure out.
Well, they let you get into Berklee on 4 chords on acoustic guitar. I should apply.
For the summer session.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Got to go in the
summer. Yeah. So it was kind of like come one, come all. So I really started like as an absolute beginner, but I learned really quickly.
Uh-huh.
But very few people ever graduate from Berklee. It's kind
of. You know, I wondered about that. Yeah. Everybody has dreams of going to Berklee College of Music, and then it's like, who graduates? But
well, it's
kind of
like a
teachers.
Trade school.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, and also what I was doing, I was like in sort of a punk band at that point, so you didn't really need to be that proficient. But I did really learn a lot that I kind of applied later, you know, just things about arranging. And I mean, I loved it. I loved having these classes where you would arrange, you know, for a horn section. And
yeah.
You know, it's kind of archaic, but like, I don't know. Like, it was really, I think it was really helpful for me in a lot of weird ways later.
For anyone who isn't familiar, actually, on you know, how major record companies can sort of run your life or at least, you know, control them, the Amy story is a good sort of primer on that. But I remember reading a New York Times article a couple of years ago. Actually, no, it was back in 99. It was a New York Times magazine piece, and it was actually before the whole Magnolia thing had come along.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, oh, the poor girl. I mean, she's going to have to release her stuff on a, you know, her own and all this. And then how times have changed. I just caught myself thinking today, you know, that the whole, you know, they're going to release their CD independently. That's the way it is now.
Yeah.
You know? And
it used to seem like a really kind of sad option. But, you know, I think as soon as the internet became, you know, kind of a viable organism. I'm at the point where I was able to get out of the, you know, whatever the last contract I had, which is with Geffen, and then it was transferred to Interscope. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But I was able to get out of that. And the internet so far had just seemed kind of like a thing where you can order records over the internet, you know, not necessarily download. That kind, you
right,
know,
the
that
whole
wasn't really
marketing
happening.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know, that's good enough for me. I mean, I didn't really investigate how viable it was, how many records you could sell. Like, you know, I just thought, you know, it's a toehold. I don't care. It's something to try. You know, let's get out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought we would end up selling records out of the back of a van or so, you know, like at gigs. But I mean, I was just so sick of it.
Well, reading what you went through, I mean,
yeah,
you can
and
that
you know, and
would.
It's also because of the structure of the contracts. You know, even if you sell a modest amount of records, you don't make any money. So if you're not making any money and you're kind of being told what to do all the time and, you know, a lot of ways that are very uncomfortable and, you know, you're not even in control of your music. I mean, you're sort of like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of motivation to stay in that situation.
But so do you have people who like come to you and say, you did it, you sort of showed us the way? Because you really strike me as one of the sort of early innovators who showed us, you know, made an example of doing it independently and forming. Did Super Ego, your record label, come first, or was it the United Musicians thing?
Super Ego came first by, you know, not that long. And United Musicians was really just sort of an idea of, you know, we wanted to be able to help other people and primarily focusing on the distribution, because we had a distribution deal through Super Ego. And the hardest thing to do when you're trying to release your own record is to get it in stores, because it's hard to get a distribution deal for just one record or one artist. So we kind of had that, the most important thing. And we, you know, basically just wanted to spread the love, you know, if any other, you know, some people in the same boat wanted to release their records. Although we did find out there's still not that many people who want to take that chance. You know, singer-songwriters who, you know, have a name that are more or less at my level, you know, kind of still hoping to ride that record company wave.
Do they really? You know, because I was curious about that, because I would think with all the horror stories that you hear, who would want to be part of that old system anymore?
I mean, you want to be in that system if it's working for you, because when it works for you, it works really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that You know, it's like, I don't know.
When it doesn't, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, like, what ring of hell is it?
Yeah, it's,
you
like
know?
Being married to the chronic cheater, you know, like you want to think they're going to come back to you and like be faithful. You know, I mean, yeah. What are the odds?
Right. So it's a good metaphor.
You know, and so it works for some people. And but I do think it's that, you know, that hope of like, well, maybe this time it'll happen.
You know what? I actually want to know your health secrets. You look amazing. I remember the first time, you know, I remember the first time I saw the Two Tills, the Till Tuesday video, and to think that all these years, and here you are, you just look fantastic. And so,
well, thank you very
much. Is it yoga? Is it macrobiotics? Is it good genes? And you smoke a pack of Camels a week, and we're just, you know.
My father is like 82 years old, and he has like just tiny, tiny little wrinkles, like tiny lines on his face. Like, I think I got some good genetic hand-me-downs. But I don't drink, and, you know, I drink decaf, and, I mean, I quit smoking. Mm-hmm. That probably helps.
That probably helps a lot.
You know what? I think the boxing helps.
You know,
It really keeps you in shape.
I would think so, of all things you could do.
But thank you for the compliment.
Well, you're welcome.
I haven't had to resort to plastic surgery yet, even though I live in the land of...
Yes, you do. Right, exactly. But trust me, folks, I'm about 3 feet away here, and I don't think she's going to have to. So anyway, Amy Mann, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For stopping by. It's been really nice. And let's listen to another acoustic track that's an alternate take of one of the tracks on the new record, The Forgotten Arm. This is Little Bombs from Amy Mann. And please come back. Thanks for stopping by. It's 89.3 The Current. I'm Steve Seal.
From the 22nd.